Well, grace you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've been here in the last couple weeks, you may have noticed that we've been talking about light a lot over the, you know, the past month or so. And it's the season of Epiphany, right? That's a theme of Epiphany. The whole season starts off with the Magi following the light of the star and finding the light of the world in this stable in Bethlehem. 2 weeks ago, we read the words of Isaiah 9, pretty famous words in the Bible. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And Matthew tells us that those words are fulfilled in Jesus' ministry. And then last week, we heard the words of Simeon. Last week, we heard, remember who he is, by the way, right? He's the guy who waits in the temple for Jesus to see the glory of God. And finally, when he sees Jesus, he calls Jesus a light for the revelation to the nations. That's who Jesus is. So in the darkness of sin, the light of Christ, the embodiment of God's forgiveness, it shines through. It dispels the darkness of our undeniable guilt. Jesus, the light, takes away the darkness of our sin and our shame and our shortcoming. Because Jesus, the light, shines on Good Friday. He shines on the cross. The light shines on Jesus who dies in your place and in my place so that all of our sin is gone. And Jesus, the light, shows us a God who values us, who sees us as worth something despite our sin. God sends him to a certain time and a certain place, and only Jesus could do that. In the darkness of our suffering, that's the other kind of darkness. The light of Jesus, the embodiment of God's victory, it shines through. It dispels the darkness of our impossible circumstances that we run into. And Jesus, the light, he takes away our powerlessness and our helplessness and our hopelessness. Because the light of Jesus shines forth from Easter morning, from the empty tomb. It shines forth and it shines on us. It shines on Jesus' victory over death itself so that we don't have to be afraid of anything. And Jesus, the light, shows us a God who walks right beside us, even in the valley of the shadow of death. God sends him to a certain time and a certain place, and only Jesus could do that. See, that's why we call Jesus the light. That's why Scripture calls Jesus the light, because the gospel message and the reality that Jesus dies for you and dies for me and rises for us, it shines in any darkness we might have in our lives. Internal darkness and external darkness. Darkness that's in my heart and darkness that's in my life. The love of God overcomes it all in Christ. The light of God shines into any darkness that we have. Now, all of that stuff makes sense. So far, this is all stuff that we hear hopefully every single Sunday. That God loves us, that the light of Christ shines into our world. But this week we hear from Jesus himself about the light in Matthew chapter 5. And I'll be honest, what he says today is kind of shocking. When we read his words in Matthew chapter 5, especially in light of all the stuff that we just talked about, that we are people in darkness who need the light of Christ, especially in light of all that stuff, what he says in Matthew chapter 5 is kind of shocking. Here's what he says. You've heard this before, probably a million times. Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." You. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to us. You, not Jesus. It's Jesus talking. "You are the light of the world." That's unique. In fact, it's really unique. It is the only time in the Gospels when we are called light. Christians are called light. And we're never again called the light of the world in the whole Bible. In fact, there's only maybe two other times in the New Testament when Christians are called light. It's really unique. We're never called the light of the world, but Jesus is all the time, right? He says it about himself even. And I think, here's the thing, with what Jesus says this morning, here's the thing. If anybody else said it, if it was anybody else who was calling Christians, not Jesus, the light of the world, if it was anybody else, we'd have to reject it. If it was anybody else, we'd have to say, that's bad theology. We're not the light. Jesus is the light. But it's Jesus saying it. And because it's Jesus saying it, we got to stand up and take notice. We got to pay attention. We would say, by the way, if it was anybody else, that that's a radical thing to say, because think about that position that it puts us in. That's a pretty lofty perch to put Christians in, right? But I think to understand what Jesus is saying, we have to step back one verse to the first thing he says about us. I think it's two verses. Anyway, the first thing he says about us is, you are the salt of the earth. And I think to understand the light thing, we got to think about that for just a second. So think about what salt does with me for just a minute. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of sliced tomatoes, you know, like you have on a sandwich or something. On a sandwich is okay, but I don't really like eating them just by themselves unless I salt them first, right? And when I salt them first, then I love them. Then I can eat them all day long. The thing is, when I have a bunch of those tomatoes that I salt and I eat and they're really, really good, I don't sit back after I've eaten them and say, that was really good salt, right? You don't do that. You say, those are really good tomatoes. Why? Because the point of salt is to bring out the flavor in the real food. The point of the salt is to point to what it's salting. That's what a Christian does. Our job is to point others to the real food, not to ourselves. I mean, think about this. If you're salt in your Bible study, for example, if you're salt in your Bible study, people don't walk away from your Bible study going, wow, that person's really smart. They know a lot, or something like that. No, they walk away from your Bible study going, that was a really good Bible study. I learned a lot about Christ, right? That's what happens when you're salt. You point to the real food. And as a Christian, when you're called into the faith, when you become a person of faith, everything that you do is supposed to do that from now on. And only Jesus could call you to do that, to be salt and to be light. I'm going to paraphrase Pastor Bill Hybels for just a second. What he says is that the hope of the world is the local congregation. The hope of the world is the local congregation. It's you. It's me. It's us. That's what Jesus is getting at as well in Matthew chapter 5. That's what he's saying. Not because we're really moral or really knowledgeable or anything like that, but because we're salt and because we're light, because we reflect the light of the world into the darkness, because we point people back to the real food. And by the way, on the light thing, notice this. Jesus doesn't ask you to be light, right? He doesn't say start shining or something like that. What he says is you are the light of the world. You are. Why? Because when you're a Christian, when you're baptized, when you come into the faith, you become the light of Christ. You do shine. The foolish thing to do, he says, the foolish thing to do is to take that light and hide it, because it doesn't do any good to anybody. But he says if you take the light, you put it on a stand, it enlightens everybody. And this is where Jesus tells us to do something, at least kind of. He says, let your light shine. And remember, the guy who's talking here is the light that shined into our lives, the one who overcame the darkness of our sin and our circumstance. And this is where he simply says, let your light shine. The light that you have in Jesus, don't keep it to yourself. Don't hide your light. You have something to offer. You have something to offer, especially to those who are in darkness, because you've got Jesus. There's really no getting around that Jesus tells us to do something here at the end, to let our light shine. And so I'm going to propose that we are intentional about this. And I'm going to ask you to do something right now, actually two somethings. The first thing is this. Think about somebody in your life that has some darkness happening in their lives right now. It could be somebody from home. It could be somebody from work. It could be somebody from school. It could be somebody from church. Maybe it's somebody who has confided in you about a problem that they have in their lives. Maybe it's somebody that you've noticed something is up with. Maybe they are angry or frustrated or sad or broken. But think of somebody that you know in your life who needs light. Somebody who could really use Jesus. Now, if you'll follow me, take a pencil. There should be a pencil in the pew in front of you. Grab a pencil, and what I'd like you to do is this. I'd like you, as I'm talking, to write that name on your bulletin. Actually, write it out. That's important. Now, if you don't want, you know, other people to know who it is that you're writing out, that's fine. Write initials or code or something like that so that you know who it is. But write their name on your bulletin. And ushers, if you guys would go ahead. What the ushers are going to do while you're doing that is they're bringing around a basket, and they're going to pass it down the aisles, and in that basket is a magnet. It's a little whiteboard magnet. And I'd like you to take one. If you've got a bunch of people in your family here, that's fine. Everybody can take one. We've got enough. What I'd like you to do is this. That name that's written on your bulletin, the person that you know in your life who could use light, when you get home, take this magnet and write their name on the magnet, and then hang it on your fridge. And over the weeks to come, we're going to be thinking about this a little bit more, thinking about how we can be light to the people around us, how you can be salt to the person who's on your fridge, how you can be the thing that points them to the real food of Jesus. This week, though, just pray for them. This week, when you go to the refrigerator, open it up, when you see their name, just pray for them. Every time you go to the fridge, see their name, pray for them for a couple seconds. As we're finishing up here, then one final thing for you about the position that we find ourselves in as light. And to make this point, I got to take us back to the beginning of the week, back to the Super Bowl. With all the news that happened this week, I mean, honestly, that seems like a long time away to me, even though it was only a week ago. But I grew up in Kansas City, and so it was really exciting for me to watch the Chiefs win. And the day after, as the commentators were talking, they were all talking about, or most of them were talking about, Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs quarterback. He had some moments of greatness for sure in the Super Bowl, and there were those who called him the day after the best in the NFL. Some people even said that it might be one of the greatest of all time that we're seeing at the beginning of his career. And let me tell you something. I can't relate to that at all. Not at all. Did you know he was drafted by the Detroit Tigers in Major League Baseball before he was in the NFL? Two professional. I can't relate to that. Good grief. Especially not in sports. I can't relate to that idea of like being the best at something or something like that. But other people the day after said this. Other people the day after said that he was the right guy for the right time. And I think maybe I can relate to that. And I think maybe you can too. See, Jesus calls you to be light. Jesus calls you to be a city on a hill. God has put you in a certain time and at a certain place. And maybe Jesus has chosen to work only through you. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. You are a city on a hill, and God has put you on a certain hill because there are people that he knows that are going to pass by you. God has enlightened you with the light of Jesus so that you can enlighten them. And my prayer for you is this, and hopefully your prayer as well, is that you will be the right person for the right time for whoever's on your fridge. May God use you to reflect the light of Jesus into their lives. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard our hearts and our minds, keeping them steadfast in Christ Jesus. Amen.